Hello, I'm Alice Gray and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Petri Dish. This week we're celebrating International Women's Day again and I'm so honoured to have Jessica Drusco on our podcast. She's an engineer, podcaster, YouTube, so many strings to your bow, Jessica. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh my goodness, thank you for that lovely intro and thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I know, I'm so excited because just before we started recording, we were talking about how we've been sort of internet friends for such a long time now.
I know, since I first started my YouTube, I remember having like less than, I don't know, like 50 people that were watching my videos, and then I found you and I remember messaging you on Twitter, and now we've both grown and you have the podcast and I have like, yeah, also things going on. I just find it really funny.
It's so lovely to watch. Like, I think we've kind of started things at similar times and we're both growing in the same sort of similar directions, and it's been really lovely to sort of make friends like through the internet and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube, and it's been so lovely to get to know you through those platforms.
Yeah, and also watch each other grow. I think it's so fun, and to see the impact that you're having and all of the different science communication opportunities you're getting. I'm always just blown away with how fast things are going.
Yeah. Like, as you say, it's, I think there's something to be said about mutual respect and celebrating each other's achievements, because I think especially for women, we're so easily painted as the sort of bitchy characters that just want to tear each other down. But actually, in reality, I get so much joy from watching people like you growing and getting new exciting opportunities.
Thank you. And I completely agree. I find, I don't know what it is. It's just, I find like from when we're growing up, it's sort of ingrained to always compete with each other. And that's not the way it should be. I feel like people have been feeding this lie to us to slow us down. And in reality, I'm just so happy in this women's STEM community because we've taken it back and we've been like, no, F that.
Yeah.
you guys can compete. We're going to support each other.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, as I was saying, I've got to know you through Twitter and Instagram, but for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about you and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm from Canada. My family immigrated to Canada from Ukraine, and I studied mechanical engineering in Montreal, and now I am finishing my master's actually in less than 1 month in mechanical engineering at ETH Zurich. It's the Swiss Technical Institute. And my research focuses on combustion in gas turbines. So I do a lot of computational fluid dynamics. I do a lot of modeling, a lot of fire, play with fire. And I started a YouTube channel about 6 months ago, and that's how I found you, and then started an Instagram, and that's how I found all the rest of the women in STEM community. And it's just been a ride from there, just a wild ride. And also now trying to finish my master's thesis, and yeah, everything now it's just a little stressful having to do everything at once, but it's really nice having the support of the community.
Yeah, I think that's come up from other conversations I've had as part of this International Women's Day celebrations, is that having these like Twitter friends, not necessarily people that's in your, you know, university or surrounding you in research, but people who are going through similar things at the same time, is really helpful and really therapeutic.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I like seeing when other people are also suffering on the holidays. I saw so many women posting photos like just making plots when my whole family's watching like a movie, and I'm like, I feel you, girl.
And yeah, so as you mentioned, you started a YouTube channel, and as I said in your introduction, you've got so many strings to your bow. So what made you start your YouTube channel?
So, well, First, living in Switzerland, it's kind of been a difficult transition. I've lived in other places before. Like, I've traveled a lot before because I'm a whitewater kayaker. So the culture, I wasn't expecting such a big culture shock, but I think living in Switzerland, it's kind of really difficult to ingrain into the community here. So there's a huge international, not a huge, but the communities that international people get involved with are other international people. It's really hard to get involved in the Swiss community. And so sort of, I don't want to say out of boredom, but from the one hand, I was looking for something to do. That was like the second part. But the main part was that a lot of women have always messaged me when I was in my bachelor's and now in my master's. And they always just messaged me simple questions like, hey, I'm thinking of doing engineering, but, you know, I just don't know if I'm good enough, or I don't know if I'm smart enough, or I'm scared. You know, it's just the little fear in the back of their head. And they just wanted to ask someone. And I was like, no, there's so many stupid people in my class. You could definitely do it. Like, there's literally no barrier. Go for it. And they're like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go for it. Why not? And so I just started to realize that, you know, sometimes you just need not a role model, but even just someone in the field to feel comfortable asking a question to. And I thought, how do I make myself more present to these girls? Like, I have these, like, the girls that are younger sisters of my friends have already messaged me. So then I thought, how do I reach more people? And also another point of that is that I was on YouTube and I started to just look up, like, girl mechanical engineer or whatever, girl engineer. I wanted to find a vlogger or something. I thought it would be really cool. And I didn't find anything. So I guess the long, as a summary, it was to get more direct contact, find a way to directly contact more girls and just be present. If someone was YouTube, like searching on YouTube, women, female engineer. So just be like more present.
I sort of started my YouTube channel in a sort of similar thought process. There was sort of many strings of thought that led me to do it. So I knew that there was an issue with representation of women in STEM within the general media, and my aspiration is to become a presenter in science, but I've come up against some barriers with that, and I think that a lot of women in STEM are getting to the same point where because there's such a lack of representation of women in STEM in the media and they're fed up of it, they've just started making their own media. Mm-hmm. And because YouTube is a free outlet, we can do that. So that's one of the reasons I started doing it, was to try and increase the representation of women in STEM. I knew I could present and I'm good with cameras and things like that. And also, I was a bit bored. I'm one of these people, if I'm not learning something new on a regular basis, I don't feel fulfilled. So doing something like, okay, I'm gonna give myself a new challenge. I'm gonna learn how to green screen. I'm gonna learn how to edit audio. And that was something new for me to do. But then also it was trying to reach out to people with questions about neuroscience, because whenever people find out that I did a neuroscience degree, they've always got questions. So there, in a similar vein, I had so many things that underlied creating a YouTube channel. I think as I reached a year on YouTube, I wanted a new challenge and I started my podcast. So why did you begin your podcast?
What I originally wanted to do with my YouTube, so you can see that on my YouTube, I have a lot of interviews with women in STEM, and I was not comfortable getting in front of the camera myself. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to bring my two friends along. I have two friends in Switzerland. I wanted to get my friends along, my friend Vika and Elizabeth. They were not natural in front of the camera. It was a big problem. So I was like, okay, you guys suck. I'll just do this myself. Thanks for trying. Yeah. But then they love podcasts and I love podcasts. And then it was sort of, it was a way for us to spend time together because we're all so busy. And I was like, this is ridiculous. We need to spend more time together. And so I just told them we're starting a podcast. And then they were like, okay, fine. And I was like, and now they love it. And now it's like, it's our time. We hang out, we talk about science, and we don't really have much expectations from it, but we've gotten a lot of really great response from it. Like people have been mainly saying they love hearing other girls just talk about what, it's not that we talk about issues facing women in STEM, although we do talk about that, but it's mainly just, you know, scientific issues, issues with research, with doing your master's, with trying to figure out what to do next in life that everyone faces. And we've gotten a lot of good feedback that people love just listening to other women talk about stuff like that. So
it's brilliant. And as in a similar sort of thing, I love podcasts as well. I'm always listening to them. I think that not a day goes by where I don't listen to a podcast. So I love your podcast as well, because it's just, it's so refreshing to hear women talking about science. It's so sad to have to say those words in one sentence, but it's so rare that you hear a group of women sitting down and talking about science, because when media organisations get people together to talk about science, it's usually men. So it's brilliant. It's a brilliant podcast anyway, but it's also brilliant that it's women.
Well, thank you. And yeah, I know it is quite tragic, as Kim Kardashian would say in that meme. I don't know, that meme just came to mind. And I love your podcast too, I have to say. I really do. And when you were talking about you were sort of looking for like a new challenge, and I really like that you do that in the STEM community too, because it's another way to break the barrier of what a scientist is, because there's just this false image that scientists are these, I don't know, like losers that sit in the lab, no light, and they just do their work all day and they don't have any fun. And when we're like, no, you can be a scientist and like a badass chick, and you can, you know, start your own YouTube channel and do your own green screen and start a podcast and go kayaking. And, you know, I really like that about our community too.
Yeah, I think you're so right in that the perception of scientists is that we're very insular, very socially awkward. We're obsessed with one thing. We don't really branch out, when actually the reality of that is very different. You know, as you say, you're a white water rafter, and like or like if I say, well, I'm a weightlifter and I'm an artist, and people are like, what? I thought you did science. And you're like, yeah, that. We can do more than one.
Yeah,
thing.
We're also human. Hello.
Yeah. And also, like, that perception, what I've been thinking about this a lot recently, is that the perception of scientists is that we're like these geniuses. And I have to admit that I'm not a genius. I am painfully average, and I revel in being in STEM and being painfully average, because it's such a separation point for the public, and especially for young kids who are maybe thinking about becoming scientists. Because if they think that scientists are just they're just geniuses, they're just the upper echelons of society, then they will never aspire to be scientists. And I am completely open to the fact that I am painfully average, but do you know what? I'm a person that's very curious, and I'm very interested in things, and when I find something I'm interested in, I'm good at it. And that's what makes me a good person in STEM. And I think that's the sort of thing is very good in breaking the perception of scientists as well, is that we're not all Einsteins. We're also just like normal human beings.
I 100% agree with you. I think that's the biggest, that is like the biggest question that I get from girls. Obviously they don't feel comfortable like asking some dude that they don't even know in engineering, like, should I be an engineer? But that's basically what it comes down to. There's just this lack of confidence, because I don't know if it's like the confidence gap, or if it's imposter syndrome, or if some like variation of that. But when I wanted to go into engineering, I was like, no, I'm not smart enough. I truly believed that. And now, just because I've graduated from engineering, I guess society has like labeled me as smart. And I'm like, I've tricked them. I'm not smart at all. And they still gave me a degree. They're so dumb.
That's but so funny.
It's so true. It's so true, though. Like, I am also so average. I am actually, I say the dumbest things and people are like, how are you an engineer? And I'm like, exactly. Just do the math. You'll be fine. Not to say that I, you know, I'll build something that will explode and kill a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I just mean that the perception is so off. And as long as you find something that you're passionate about and you're willing to work at it, that's really all it takes, I think. I don't even know if being smart is a real thing. I've never taken an IQ test because I don't, maybe that's a real biology thing. I don't know. I'm also not a biologist, so I don't know anything about biology. You know a lot about neuroscience. Some of you can tell me, but I haven't even taken an IQ test because I'm like, that's BS.
Yeah.
I don't care what it's going to tell me. I'm going to go into engineering.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. IQ tests are so situational. So there's studies that have found that if you take if you get farmers to take IQ tests at different points in the year, they will score different points on the IQ test. So traditional farmers who live off the land, if you take their IQ test before the harvest, they score significantly lower on their IQ test than after the harvest, where they start to eat a lot better and they start to get a good diet and they can afford food and things like that. So it's so situational. So something like dietary intake, monetary values, like income and stuff, largely affect your IQ, it's also got racial bias, gender bias. So IQ tests are rubbish. Anyone can achieve anything if they put their mind to it, and they are given the tools to do that. So I'm really passionate about this because I'm from a working class background, and not a lot of people from my school got as far as I have, and people from my area aren't expected to do as well as I have, and so that really strikes a chord with me, that we're teaching kids that you've got to aspire to something that you are never going to get because you're, it's that Matilda thing, that, that scene in Matilda where he's like, I'm smart, you're dumb, I'm big, you're little, I'm right, you're wrong. Whereas it's not that simplistic at all. And so just teaching kids that your intellect is not static, you can always improve on yourself, and giving them the tools to do that, or giving them just access to learning new things. And that's why I think YouTube, although in the recent weeks with Logan Paul and things like that, has its dangers, it's also got, it gives them the avenue to find out amazing new things that they wouldn't have done in school.
Yeah, I agree. I love YouTube for that reason. I have to say, I was so impressed that you just pulled out that study about the farmers out of your brain. I was like, damn. Okay, thank you. Okay, great. Thank you.
But it's true. It's so, you talk about IQ, like that's the one thing that's going to get you somewhere, but it's not that simple at all.
Yeah, and the other thing that, kind of branching off from what we just said, the idea of the SATs, like, I'm not American, but I did apply to some American schools in my bachelor, and I had to take the SATs, and I had terrible scores, because I didn't train to take some sort of multiple choice test that's going to determine my entire life. And the problem that I see now from my YouTube, from people messaging me so much, is that these tests, they convince you that they direct your entire life. That if you're not smart enough and you don't do well on this test and you don't get into the best university, pretty much your life is over. Like, why are you even going to go to university if you don't go to Harvard or if you don't get like 100% on this test? And there are just so many different ways to get to your end destination. And I really hate this narrative that you have to do it one way. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's just a business. It's like, it's just the business of these universities to convince kids that this is how it has to be done. And if you don't do it this way, then yeah, why are you even, I don't know, trying? And I think it just all goes back to that idea that you're not smart enough, and I don't know.
I mean, it's stupid, really, because at the end of the day, they make so much money from us, and I don't know why they don't try and open it up to, like, you know, more vocational things, especially when we're looking at STEM, where, you know, we have one way of getting into STEM, and that's you have a Bachelor's of Science and that's it, and then you can progress from there. When there's people who aren't academically minded who would be perfectly suitable for STEM, you know, STEM careers, but they are more hands-on and would prefer something that's not academic in getting them into that stream, into STEM. And it's just, you're so right that it's just so one-track minded in universities. And it's true for, like, say universities in the UK. We don't, you know, value other grading systems from other countries. So, like, for example, people in India, the exams they sit don't, like, we don't consider them, which is stupid, because that just means that you're just, like, disqualifying a very large country because they don't fit your parameters, which is so stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid. I think we've just, like, gone onto quite a large rant here.
Sorry. Yeah. Probably no, my fault.
No, not at all. I think it's because we're both passionate. We're passionate human beings.
Yeah. We are. We really are. Make sure to rate and review on our passion, guys. Subscribe to the podcast.
So in that vein, I think the last thing I'd like to ask you for this podcast, I kind of, looking back over your academic career and what you do, is there something within your academic career that has sort of infiltrated its way into your personal life? So I had a chat with someone for an earlier episode who was talking about how her lab work taught her not to be a perfectionist anymore, and that sometimes things don't go right, and that now works in her favour in her personal life as well. So do you think anything's happened like that for you?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the biggest thing, so when I was in my Bachelor's of Engineering, I thought, you know, okay, I'm just going to work really hard. And, like, when I graduate, like, that will be when my life begins. Like, I'm just going to do all this work now. Like, I didn't have any fun. I mean, I did have some fun, but it was really tough. And so what I did, like, you know, we all studied, we worked really hard, and finally we got to our fifth year. It's 5 years if in Quebec. We got to our fifth year and we were like, oh yes, okay, now our life begins. And then I went and I got my master's, and now I'm doing my PhD. And so there's really no end in sight. And I think that has really taught me that it's not about, like, it sounds so cheesy, but it's not about your end destination. You have to enjoy the journey. So now, yeah, it's insane. People are like, how are you doing your master's and YouTube? And I thought, because I'm not going to wait till I'm finished to start. I actually wish that I started earlier. I wish I started in my bachelor's. I wish I could have documented all of my bachelor's in vlogs or whatever. I think that would have been really fun to look back on. I think it would have been probably added some value for other students that were curious to know what a bachelor's like in Montreal. And so what it has taught me now, it's that it really is about the journey, and don't push things to the side. So for example, right now, I've been trained in classical piano. I learned piano for like 12 years when I was a kid. But I haven't been able to play in university because I never had a piano in Montreal. And now in this student house that I live in Switzerland, we have two pianos. And I thought, you know, in my bachelor's, I was like, oh, when I'm done my bachelor's, I'm going to play piano. And I just had the same mindset. And just today, I don't know why today, I thought, you know, no, I want to keep playing, but I don't want to play classical now. I want to go into jazz piano. And I thought, I'm not going to wait for 5 years when I'm done my PhD, because I'm doing an internship, then I start my PhD. I'm not going to wait for another 5 years. So I'm just going to start, and I'm going to try to incorporate it into my life. And so that's what I think engineering has taught me. It's don't move the things that you want to do to the side. Start now. It's also kind of an example with, I'm learning German now. And I also want to learn Swedish. And I thought, maybe I should just finish learning German and then I should learn Swedish. And now I'm like, no, German's going to take me forever to learn, probably. Like, it's probably going to take my whole life to learn German. I'm not going to wait till I'm on my deathbed and then start learning Swedish. So I'm just going to start learning Swedish. Why not? So that's, I think, what engineering has taught me.
That really resonates with me. I went through a similar thing where I left university after my undergraduate degree, and I was kind of a bit lost for a few years, because I left university when graduate opportunities in the UK were abysmal. So I was sort of just working any old job, and some were in STEM and some weren't, but always doing my blogging, and I kept wanting to do videos and things because I thought it would be fun, and my boyfriend at the time kept telling me, no, don't do it. We ended up breaking up, and I did it a couple months after, and I thought, oh my God, I really wish I'd been doing this before. I really wish that I hadn't waited and I hadn't listened to him, and I'd been stubborn about it, and that completely resonates with me, that, you know, life isn't a sprint. It's that awful cliche, life isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. So you know you've got all this time, do it exactly how you want. There's no point rushing it.
Exactly.
That's such a lovely way to end our podcast for International Women's Day. Thank you so much, Jessica, for joining me. It's been such an honor to chat to you, and I'll leave the link for your YouTube and podcast in the description so everyone can go and check you out. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.